We're taking our Bible reading tonight from the Old Testament at the book of Psalms, and we're reading from Psalm 119. It's a very long psalm, so we'll not read it all. But we will commence our reading at the verse 57. Psalm 119 and verse 57 has been well said, of course, that the Psalms are a medicine to every ill that befalls the people of God. There's always a word of encouragement in the Psalms, and there's also a word of challenge, as there is in this particular psalm. Psalm 119 and verse 57, "Thou art my portion, O Lord, I have said that I would keep thy words. I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. The bands of the wicked have robbed me, but I have not forgotten thy law. At midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. I am a companion of all them that fear thee, and of them that keep thy precepts. The earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. Teach me thy statutes." We'll end our reading there. God again will add his blessing to the public reading of his precious word. Now, I'd like you to open your Bible again with me at the portion of scripture we read together, and in particular, we'll focus our attention upon two verses there, 59 and 60. And there the psalmist says, "I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments." And the theme of our message this evening is simple: a challenge to be faced. Of course, it goes without saying that every day we live brings its certain challenges. But when it comes to spiritual matters, those are the greatest challenges of all. And things were not always pleasant in the life of the psalmist. But on this occasion, he says, "I thought on my ways." I'm always impressed with the words of the mighty prophet Daniel, when he said a day would arrive and knowledge would increase. Men's hearts would be so filled with fear that they would literally run to and fro throughout the earth. It would almost seem that we are in the days that Daniel spoke of. For in the last few years, we have moved out of a slow-moving society. We've moved into a modern, affluent, and fast-moving age. Mankind finds himself propelled through life in one mad hurry. So much so that he seldom takes time to think about life, about death, about heaven, about hell, the consequences of living or dying without Jesus Christ. He is content to live for this moment. Eternity is not really in his thinking. He's happy to live for the things that he can see rather than the things he cannot see. Consequently, 2018 brings you and I to a world that is no friend of God, and there's a spurning of God's salvation, and people have little interest in the hereafter. Because the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, but after this. But people never think about the after this. And so he lives his life. He runs his course. He does his thing. Then suddenly, he's staring eternity in the face. But where? And Job, of course, posed that same question when he said, in Job chapter 14, "Man dieth and wasteth away. Yea, man giveth up the ghost, and where is he?" Little wonder the psalmist said, "I thought on my ways." And people, we need to stop and we need to think. No matter how busy we are in this life, one day come to that point where we're just staring into eternity. The psalmist here is facing up to the realities of eternity and says, I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. Now, looking at this challenge to face, first of all, I want you to consider with me his deliberations. He says, I thought, and folks, it's a good thing to think. And especially think about eternal matters. You see, we are more than physical, we are spiritual, we are eternal. But sadly, not many people are prepared to think about such matters. One dear lady spoken to about the matter of her soul's salvation. Her response was, don't talk to me like that. That makes me think, and I don't like to think. But folks, we need to think seriously. And here the psalmist says, I thought on my ways. Now, there are many things in regard to our lives that you and I need to think about. First of all, folks, we need to think of how short life is. We are here for a little time, and then we are gone. Job said in that same chapter 14, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down, he fleeth as a shadow and continueth not. James puts it this way and says, what is your life? And sometimes we need to stop in the midst of our busy life and consider what is our life. For James says it is a vapor. It appears for a little time and then it vanishes away. Again, the Bible tells us that our life is swifter than a weaver's shuttle. It is like water that is spilt upon the ground, which cannot be gathered up again. And Paul, writing to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and 29, he said, time is short. No matter whether a person believes in God or doesn't believe in God, every individual will have to acknowledge this, that our days on earth are short. They are but a fleeting breath. The hymn writer who wrote the words, Abide with Me, sums it all up in those words, swift to its close, ebbs out life's little day. Little wonder the psalmist says, so teach us to number our days, that we might apply our hearts unto wisdom. You know, oftentimes people will sit down and reminisce, cast a thoughtful eye over the course of their life and just how quickly it has gone. We need to think how short life is. Here today, eternity tomorrow. The hymn writer puts it into the words, life at best. What he was saying is this, that life at its longest. Life at best is very brief, like the falling of a leaf. The Bible talks about 80 years. If by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, and we soon fly away. But how many people in our world tonight, in our province, in our community, never see 80 years. Therefore, folks, we need to think how life is so short, so brief. So much so that David the psalmist said to his friend Jonathan, when Jonathan's father Saul tried to kill him, he said, Jonathan, as thy soul liveth, there is but a step between me and death. ever thought about the brevity of life. But then we need to also think how sudden death can come. I don't think there's anyone in this congregation is going to dispute the fact that our life is short. The Bible emphasizes that. But though all of us know that one day we shall die, none of us know when that day will come or what circumstances in which it will happen. And of course, James says that. What is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, then vanishes away. For we know not what shall be on the morrow. What is your life? It was Isaac who said, I know not the day of my death. Hence the words of Amos the prophet need to be considered when he said, prepare to meet thy God, because that's what's going to happen. When we part the scene of time, go out into eternity, we've got to meet our Maker, we've got to face our God, and preparation needs to be made to meet Him. It was Isaiah the prophet who said to King Hezekiah when he was sick, he said, set thy house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Friend, can I ask you this simple but serious question? Have you set your house in order? Now, many people set their house in order as far as material things are concerned. If they were to die suddenly, there will be no problem. All their earthly affairs, that's all legally tied up and sorted out. But that's not what Isaiah was talking about. He said, set thy house in order. Friend, have you set your house in order spiritually? Has there ever been a moment when you've laid hold upon eternal life? Put your trust in Christ as your Savior. It was an old soldier lying dying on a foreign battlefield. And he was crying and crying uncontrollably. And his comrades, they came to him and they said, John, why are you crying? Haven't we brushed with death so often? And you never shed a tear, you never showed any fear. But here we are now, and you're crying, and why are you crying? And he said, men, I am crying today not because I'm afraid of death, but I'm afraid of what comes after death. For the Bible talks about after this. Now there are people, and they would say to you and to me, these are matters we don't have to worry about or consider, because when you and I die, the book, the chapter's finished, the book is closed. That's the end. But when you ask them for their source of authority for saying that, they don't know. It's what they hope, it's what they want to believe. But friend, death is not the end, and our source of authority is God's word. It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, yeah, there is something after death. There is something beyond the grave. The judgment. And in Job chapter 30, in the verse 23, he says, for I know that thou wilt bring me to death and to the house appointed for all living. And death is not just for old people. For death is no respecter of persons or ages. Often he will come for that young child in its cot. The young boy or girl or teenager, or young man or young woman or young father or young mother, those in the middle years of life and those in old age. And none can stay the hand of death. Oh, that rider upon his pale horse, of which we read in Revelation chapter 6. When one lay his steely hand upon you and me. And we will go into eternity, but where? Or as the hymn writer puts it, where will you be 5 minutes after your death? And these are things that we need to think about. And the psalmist says, I thought. And we need to think about how short our life is, how suddenly our death will come. And we need to think of how sure eternity is, for eternity is sure. It is certain. There is an eternity. After this, the judgment. Job asks a very, very important question. He says, if a man die, shall he live again? Now, it is considered by most Bible commentators that Job is the oldest book in the Bible, and we really get the answer to that question in the last book of the Bible, from the pen of the Apostle John. Job said, if a man die, shall he live again? And John says in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 12, where he was banished to a lonely island because of his defense and preaching of the gospel. But there the Lord came and befriended the old apostle and drew back the curtains of heaven and gave him a view of eternity and things that are future and will come to pass. And he said, in Revelation 20 and verse 12, I saw the dead. Job said, if a man die, shall he live again? John says, I saw the dead living again. That's what he was saying. For he said, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books. And you see, God keeps a record of our lives. And one day he will bring that record into the great courtroom of eternity. God will not be wanting in his witnesses. Folks, we need to think how sure eternity really is. One day I was out doing a little fishing. I tell you, folks, it wasn't prosperous, so I packed the whole thing in. And coming up the river, I came to a very old cemetery. And I went into the cemetery and looked around the graves, some of them hundreds of years ago. But I brushed away the moss on one particular grave because a few of the words caught my attention. And I brushed away the moss and I read it, take heed, passerby. I thought, that's me, I'm passing by, take heed. Take heed, passerby. As you are now, so once was I. As I am now, soon you will be. You've got to face eternity. And we need to think about that. How will it be with me on that day when I face my God? David said, I thought. And folks, you need to deliberate on these matters. You need to think about them because eternity is for eternity. there'd be a lot of time to think. But then I want you to notice in the second place, not only his deliberations, he says, I thought on my ways, but also his decision. He said, I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. Now, over in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 33 and the verse 11, the Bible says, say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his ways and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? And folks, there needs not only to be a thinking about eternity and about the day of our death, there needs to be a turning from our sin and a turning to the Savior. Turn while the Savior in mercy is calling. Friend, have you ever turned from your sin and turned to Christ? And that, first of all, needs to be done while the door of mercy is open. You know, Jesus addressing the church of the Laodiceans in Revelation chapter 3. It is so, so very difficult to understand that a society of people identifying themselves as a church would shut out the sole king and only head of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ. But that is what they did, with the result that he says, behold, I stand, or behold, I am standing at the door and knocking. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him. And folks, there needs to be a turning to Christ when the door of mercy is open. For that door will not always be open. You know, the scripture is littered with individuals who had heard the gospel, who hinted at turning, but never did. One of those was King Herod. He had heard the gospel preached from the lips of John the Baptist, one of the world's greatest preachers. And the Bible says, the Lord Jesus Christ, of men that are born of woman, there was nobody like John the Baptist. And Herod heard John the Baptist. The Bible says in Mark's Gospel, chapter 6, that he heard John, and he heard him gladly. And it goes further and says, after hearing John, he did many things because of John. In other words, there was the probability that he was actually trying to reform his life. But we know that reformation is not salvation. You see, there are people who could clean up their lives, stop saying certain things, stop doing certain things, but that doesn't constitute salvation. And though the Bible says of Herod that he heard John and heard him gladly, and did many things because of John. In other words, he reformed his life. But he sold his soul to hell. Because for the love of a woman, he saw the death of John the Baptist. And that day, God shut the door of mercy in his face and locked it forever. And it didn't matter who prayed for Herod or who preached to Herod. He had gone outside the pale of redemption. And the door of mercy was shut. Therefore, we need to turn while that door of mercy is open. And we need to turn while the day of salvation is present, which will not always be present. For the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 15, today. And the Bible always places emphasis upon today, upon the now. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart, because tomorrow could be a day too late. That would have happened in the life of Zacchaeus. Jesus was passing through Jericho. He was going up to Jerusalem, and he was going up to his death. He would not be coming back through Jericho. And Jesus said to Zacchaeus, today I must abide at thy house, not tomorrow. And if Zacchaeus had hesitated and waited tomorrow till tomorrow, he would have lost his soul. But the Bible says he made haste and came down, received him gladly. Today is always an important day. Oh, many will say, just give me a little longer. The world, it is so bright. When I feel that I am dying, I'll get saved, but not tonight. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart, for today, not tomorrow, today is the day of salvation. Folks, today is all we have. We don't have a tomorrow. Therefore, there needs to be a turning to the Lord today. Now is the accepted time. But then in closing, you will notice his diligence here. He says, I thought on my ways and I turned my feet unto thy testaments. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy testimonies. And folks, there's always an urgency in the matter of our soul's salvation. There are things in life that demand our attention on a daily basis. And you know what? If we didn't attend to them, life would go on all right. But when it comes to this issue, the matter regarding my immortal soul, there is an urgency in that. And what an urgency. I made haste. And it says of Zacchaeus that he made haste and came down, received him. Folks, you need to this night, not another night. This night, you need to trust the Lord to save you. And of course, the Bible says he is able to save them to the uttermost. The word uttermost means forever. He is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. You need not fear. As some do and have expressed it, fear taking that step lest it doesn't work out. He is able to save forever. And that emphasizes not only his saving power, but his keeping power. And you can trust God in that matter to keep you. The Bible says, blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust. And Jesus said, I give to them. You see, this salvation's God's gift. Gifts are to be received freely because another has paid the price, and Jesus has paid the price of your salvation. Now he says, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. It was Spurgeon, the preacher, who said, it is not your hold on God that saves you. It is his hold on you. And I think the Apostle Paul, writing to young Timothy in 1 Timothy or 2 Timothy 1 and verse 12, said, I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. And friend, when you're saved, you're safe for all eternity. And how safe are those whom God saves? George Whitefield, great English minister, 200 years ago, he said, at the end of his life, I go to my everlasting rest. My sun has risen, shone, and is setting. Now it is about to rise and shine forever. I have not lived in vain. And though I could live to preach Christ 1,000 years, I die to be with him, which is far better. When you and I die, will it be far better? Oh, pity the man that dies without Christ. It will not be far better. Friend, think. Turn. Trust the Savior.